My name is Frank Dirks for Catholic Radio in South Carolina, and I'm delighted to be here today with Judy Vincent and Patrick Bregan, who are with the Marian Catechist Apostolate. Judy, Patrick, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So, Patrick, you are the national coordinator for the Marian Catechist Apostolate, and that has its roots really in Father John Hardin. Tell us a little bit about his story and how he came to form the Marian Catechist Apostolate.
Well, Father John Hardin was a Jesuit priest. And, you know, he worked hard. He understood the fact that the faith was being watered down. He made it his mission, really, to be able to catechize others in a way that there wasn't a spin on the faith, right? Because we know how what has happened over the last 30 some years of the faith, and how, and everybody that I talked to that takes these courses, they all say, well, how come we've never been told this before, right? So why are we saying that? Why do the people that are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s make that comment that, well, why haven't we ever been told this? If I could have a dollar for every time I heard that, I could probably retire tomorrow, right? But Father John Hardin, that was his mission, especially when he was approached by John Paul to commission him to begin to form these courses. And he wrote it to the fact that it wasn't that not necessarily tricky, because a lot of people that take this course, they go, why does Father John Hardin make this so hard? And I'm sure Judy can give some insight to that too. But anybody that studies this will say, you know, is he trying to trick us? Is he just purposely trying to make us feel like we don't know anything? And his answer would certainly be no, that is not the reason. But the reason that Father John Hardin makes is because he really wants you to ponder. It's a Marian study. It's a Marian catechist study. And if you know anything about Mary, Mary ponders. She's always pondering questions. And part of the coursework that Father John Hardin created, you know, he asks you true and false questions. He'll ask you the best answer questions. He'll ask you matching questions. But really, the best answer, he'll give you three answers that are all right. But he'll want you to ponder, really do it in prayer, right? Rely on the Holy Spirit. You know, Father John Hardin said that you don't learn from the ones that you get right. You learn from the ones that you get wrong. And that is so very true. And so as he's writing this, he's purposely trying to knock off our prideful chips that are on our shoulders. And he does so very directly sometimes, and very much with compassion for us. But he does it with the essence that we want to rely on the Spirit. Judy had related to the spiritual practices. And I'm just going to kind of run down a little bit of these. So when Father John Hardin not only wants you to learn intellectually, but he really wants you to form your spiritual life as well. And that has to do with daily Mass, you know, receiving Holy Communion, doing the Rosary once a day, the morning offering to the Sacred Heart, the Memorare, the Angelus, being faithful to that every day, the Stations of the Cross, spiritual readings, right? Meditation, that is a very, very much in essence to some of the spiritual practices, the examination of conscience every day. And then, of course, receiving, you know, frequently the sacrament of confession. And a lot of people say, who are taking this, will say, well, I can't do those all. You know, I'll get a call in my office. Well, Patrick, I can't make daily Mass. And so the cardinal understands that, and so do I. But the cardinal says, you do it to the best of your state of your ability of life as right now. If you have a young family and you have a full-time job and you're trying to do these studies and trying to learn more about your faith, then maybe you work on just doing the rosary and, implementing the rosary a day. Everybody can do the morning offering. I mean, that should be a given no matter what state of life. But the morning offering, the Angelus throughout the day, scripture reading, if you can, once a week, then, if nothing else. But the essence is that Father John Hardin says you begin, you start somewhere, and then you constantly add something to it. I'm in my fourth year of the diaconate program. When I was asked to do on the Liturgy of the Hours on top of all the spiritual practices, I too thought, how am I going to fit this all in? But you know who creates time? God. And God creates the time, and you just now I can't, after doing it for 4 years, I can't imagine doing the Liturgy of the Hours without including all of the other spiritual practices. So Father John had a great insight and forethought in all of this, and it's such a beautiful way to incorporate the spiritual with the mind. So you're going to combine the heart with the mind, which is really the furthest connection that a human body will ever make is from the mind to the heart. And I think this is such what makes us, or makes the Marian Catechist separate from all other, I hate to call it a program, but all other study courses, is precisely that. It's going to connect the mind with the heart.
Well, you have to live the faith to know the faith.
Absolutely. And you have to know the faith to live the faith. That's why it's a common marriage there.
Well, you in your discussion of Father John Hardin, you mentioned the cardinal, and you were referring to His Eminence Cardinal Raymond Burke. What is his role with the Marian Catechist Apostolate?
Okay, so back in the I'm going to say the early 90s, late 80s, Cardinal Burke then was the Bishop of La Crosse, Wisconsin, which I'm a member of that diocese. And he was one of the first one. He will be the first one to tell you that no other bishop has ever listened to a priest more intently than him. And it's usually the other way around, right? Usually the priest listened to the bishop. And but Bishop Burke and Father John Hardin became close friends, mainly because Bishop Burke at the time recognized the urgency of good catechesis within his own diocese, right? And so he learned quickly from Father John and really latched himself on to the Marian Catechist work. Before Father John Hardin passed away in December 31st of 2000, he then asked Bishop Burke if he would continue his work. And of course, Cardinal will be the first one to tell you, when he was sitting in this room with all of the other people, and Father John Hardin all of a sudden announces this, that he would like to have him take over. Of course, he said yes, and he did with great fervor. And Cardinal is very loyal to the structure of the apostolate that Father John Hardin set up, and is very loyal to the work that the Marian Catechist set forth. And that is part of the reason why I was asked by his eminence to take on this task of taking it further beyond what is known right now. Because, Frank, because of what your work that you're going to help us do, you're going to bring this to a wider audience. And yes, we are in South Carolina. I was just down to North Carolina, to Highland, North Carolina, this past weekend. Talking about the Real Presence and the Marian Catechist. So the Real Presence is another apostolate that Father John Hardin started. But when Father John Hardin was here at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, he told Cardinal then that I want my apostolates to find their home here. This is where he wants his apostolates to find their home, and the Cardinal is holding true to that promise.
Well, that really is the intersection of the spiritual, the response to the spiritual needs of our age.
Correct, correct.
The Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the study of the Real Presence, and the Marian Catechist. So, Certainly, Our Lady had a hand in all of that, no question about it. Judy, a Marian catechist here in the Low Country, how are you living the faith as a Marian catechist, and how did the Holy Spirit prompt you to become one?
I was raised Catholic and I've always loved studying my faith. But back in 2016, a dear friend of mine approached me with this Marian catechist apostolate, and she was at the time studying it, and she thought that it might be something I would be interested in. And as it would be, the Holy Spirit had already led me to look for some sort of study that I could engage my mind and my soul in. And as you know, there's so many programs out there to study the faith. Very, very good programs. We're very blessed in this time to have these great programs. So I was concerned and discerned about what it was she presented, because I was truly looking for something that was going to be doctrinal and spiritual, as Patrick had mentioned. I didn't just want to learn it for the knowledge. I really wanted to go deeper into my spiritual life as well. So it was the perfect marriage for me. So that's how I got interested. It took me about 2.5 years or so to study and complete. We might have mentioned it's a home study, and at the time there was no one else around except for my friend Mary, who was doing it. So together we studied separately and took the tests, and then if we had questions, we called the apostolate with our questions, and then I was consecrated by Cardinal Burke in 2018. So to but to become a consecrated catechist, you have a choice. You can become an active catechist, or you can be a contemplative. And you discern that during the 30-day retreat, the Ignatian retreat that the apostolate offers for all the people studying the program. And during the retreat, I told my spiritual director I wanted to be a contemplative, because I prefer to be quiet and prayerful. Of course, we have three young, well, there were young children at the time, and I just thought I need to be a contemplative. I don't have time. But my spiritual director was like, "No, you should be active. You need to be active." So again, I just re reached out to our priest, Monsignor Broby, and offered, whatever I had as far as teaching to him. And I have taught in the catechesis. I've taught, catechism for the cathedral, and as well as offered classes, the Marian catechist class, to anyone who might be interested. And we just do a monthly meeting along with a review of the tests that they've completed. So.
We are talking today with Judy Vinson and Patrick Bregan about the Marian Catechist Apostolate. And when you think about a contemplative, there is no greater model for that than Our Lady. And when you think about how, through her contemplation and love for Jesus Christ, she moved hearts. How do you see the Marian Catechist, Judy, moving hearts in, the parish and in the community around you?
Well, Father Hardin knew really well. He was a brilliant man, and he knew that the Marian catechist, one of the missions was to evangelize society by living each day in the presence of Christ. And we fulfill that by our spiritual practices. Pope Paul VI said modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. And if he does listen to teachers, it's because they are witnesses. So we're teachers. We offer ourselves as teachers, as active catechists. But unless we're able to really be a witness, we're not going to be very effective teachers. So that's what we do. That's what we're called to do.
Well, Patrick, you already described a little bit about Father John Hardin's kind of reaction to what I've heard Bishop Robert Barron describe as the banners and balloons of catechism in the church here at this
Oh gosh,
period of
I
time.
lived through that, right? Oh gosh.
We all did,
We
Judy.
all did. I know.
We
I know.
all survived.
We all survived by the grace of God. Yes, damn
So
right.
Father Hardin was blessed to have an insight into the direction and trends of the culture here, and responded with this extraordinary apostolate. How do you see it, Patrick? responding to the many things that we find so challenging in the culture today.
Well, I think you said it great that he had that foresight, but I think it was a grace as well, right? I think God, in his providential vision of all-knowing, knew that Father John Harden would say yes to his request to write good catechesis. And really what's bearing fruit is that it's bearing fruit now, right? In the time where I think we're seeing a real desire. I mean, people are coming back to church. I mean, I hear all the time, oh, the church is dead, or the church is dying. And I say, you don't know the kids out there. You know nothing about the church. The church is growing. The church is expanding. There's such a desire for good catechesis. And I think this is just being fed right into it. It's such a wonderful thing to see. And Judy had mentioned the different being able to be consecrated. The cardinal said that to be consecrated, to be consecrated means that you're set aside for a specific task or duty. And that's what the Marian catechists are. They're being asked to be, set aside to do something greater than themselves. And Cardo will also tell you that because you're consecrated, you receive, these particular and actual graces that assist you in maintaining your desire to do this work. Besides just to be consecrated as active and or contemplative, you can dance between those, right? So Judy might be active now, I might be active now, but as we grow older, we might say, well, I'm going to retire from teaching my classes. This is where this group of people that are part of the apostolate add to the spiritual realm of prayer, because we all need prayer to lift up those that are being active. And that's such an important thing, how I often kind of look at it as the triumphant, and people in heaven, the militant, and then those in purgatory, right? But we all three kind of meld together to help each other. And so besides the consecrated ones, if people want to do the study, but they say, I want to become something greater than just myself, that they can become a member of the apostolate as an associate. And as an associate, they will contribute to prayers, just like those who are contemplative. And so they lift us up, they help us financially, which we need help with that as well, because we don't have a we rely on donors. So we have the associates, we have the actives, and we have the contemplatives, and together we form a catechist of family. And Father John Harden's dream was to have legions of Marian catechists. And so actually I'm just meeting with somebody, his name is Monsignor Francis. He is up from Nigeria. His bishop, his name is Bishop Michael Okpan, from Nigeria, sent up Monsignor Francis to learn more about the Marian Catechist. And we had our meeting with Cardinal this morning. So you'll be the first to know of all members that the Marian Catechist material is going to Nigeria.
Oh.
And it is going to be so, I can't wait to see what happens. There's over 2 million Catholics down there that we're going to begin to catechize down, because they are so hungry for this. So Frank, you're on the cutting edge of all this news.
Praise God. Wonderful. Wonderful. If someone is listening and they feel the prompt, they go to the Marian Catechist website, and that is mariancatechist.com, and they order the books, and they fill out a an application, and then they receive the self-study guides. And really, Patrick Regan, Judy Vincent, the work you are doing for our Lord and our Lady and our church, thank you so much, and thank you for your time today. And again, if folks are interested in their work, you can go to mariancatechist.com. Patrick, Judy, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, thank you.